8 o'clock. Thanks for joining us. Jam along with the Buckeye Boy from Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Avs score 6 goals at Winnipeg yesterday, thinking, okay, Avs got to be up 1-0.
Yeah, mission accomplished.
No. They give up 7 goals yesterday and lose 7-6. Hey, at least they didn't get out, shut out 7-0
like they did,
a little over a week and a half ago or whatever.
Yeah.
At Winnipeg or against Winnipeg. So after watching last night, are the Avalanche going to win this series? I still want to think they're going to win it in six, but man, I'm not.
Confidence is shaky right now.
Yeah. I can't say I feel real good about the Avalanche's chances if Georgiev doesn't start playing better. And they got to play better around him too. I'm not concerned about the goal scoring, even though with Hellebuck, that's natural to assume that would be more of a challenge. It put, 46 shots on him yesterday?
Something like that.
To get the 6 goals. But they got to him, and that's the important thing. Now, defensively, the Avalanche have to play better. Did the Avalanche win the series? Give me your thoughts, Dave Pyle. And also, do the Nuggets go up 2-0 on the Lakers tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they do, too. Like Jamal Murray said after the game on Saturday, he goes, we won tonight. We came back from 12, and we didn't even shoot the ball that well.
Not in the first half, they didn't.
No. Imagine when they start clicking a little better from the perimeter. And for the Lakers, it's not sustainable to play AD and LeBron as much as they played them on Saturday.
It's not. And it's not sustainable to rely on D'Angelo Russell as much as they did.
Which, I mean, you look for LeBron, he played 41 minutes. Anthony Davis played 44 minutes in that game. Russell played 41 minutes, and, man, he was bad.
Oh, he was awful. It was great to see. Sorry for a former Ohio State Buckeye, but, man, as a Nuggets fan, it's like, yeah.
You love it. It's great.
Put up another bad shot. Logo 3, come on, yeah. D'Angelo Clark, put it up.
Austin Reeves has to be better than what he, what he was in that game. And I still think that when you look at what Michael Porter Jr. is able to do, the line that he put up with what's going on with his family right now, his brother Coben's ruling on the DUI and the vehicular death, his brother Jonte getting banned. And he played the clip of him last hour with a very mature sounding Michael Porter Jr., by the way, which was fantastic.
Like, where's this guy when he does podcasts?
Exactly.
No offense.
That to get the line they got from him, 38 minutes, 19 points, 8 rebounds, couple block shots. That was good.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon, 12 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists. Once again, kind of like with MPJ, give me those Aaron Gordon numbers all playoffs long and really good defense on their top scorer. I'll take it.
Absolutely.
Take it to the bank.
I don't need that much more.
Don't need more than that. You get KCP dropping a couple of threes in the second half. He had 12 points. I'll take that from him. I don't need a ton.
He didn't make a shot at all in the first half.
No. But made big shots in the second half.
Yeah. He took one shot inside the arc all night.
Yeah.
Missed it. But that's okay.
And if I can get the defensive effort and a little bit of scoring from Peyton Watson, which they got with a couple of threes in the first half, I'll take that. Yeah, that second unit, Brown didn't have a big game, certainly offensively, just 2 points, but he grabbed 5 rebounds. You don't expect a lot from DeAndre Jordan. He just needs to give Nikola Jokic a breather here or there. Played 9 minutes, still scored 4 points, grabbed a couple boards. Well, I'll take that. It's for Denver. It's you're always Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray are the bell cows.
Yes.
And they're the guys that are going to lead the way. It's can the supporting cast live up to it? And it starts after them with Aaron Gordon and Michael Porter Jr., not necessarily in that order. I think it's MPJ and then Aaron Gordon. because you expect more scoring from MPJ.
And I know it's only one game. I am less worried today about their bench than I was last week.
Yeah, I know Scott Hastings, we had him on. Scott was concerned about that. I think, and that's a legitimate, reasonable concern.
I am concerned. I'm less concerned.
Right. You wish you still had Bruce Brown on this team? Because, man, he was so good.
Mm-hmm.
You wish you had Uncle Jeffy, Jeff Green? But they feel like they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
But also to help kind of offset that a little bit, that's where MPJ and Aaron Gordon have to be really good and consistent night in and night out. Because you can't, there's no Bruce Brown riding to the rescue to come out with an 18-point game or and play the way he did in the playoffs last year. That guy's no longer in Denver. That guy is not on this roster. A player like him is not on this roster. Sorry, Christian Brown's not that guy.
No, he's not.
Reggie Jackson is not that guy.
And another thing I think was huge for the Nuggets is, yeah, you know what? First half, they didn't shoot the ball very well. They still finished over 46%, over 35% from deep, 83% from the line. They had four turnovers all night.
Yeah.
Like, that's stellar. I'll take that. Like, I don't care what your shooting efficiency is. If you turn the ball over single digits, you got a good chance to win that game. With as much ball movement as the Nuggets put out, to have four turnovers, I'll take that.
And like Jamal Murray said on Saturday, you know, they came out kind of like they did in game one against the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals, came out a little bit amped up, missing some shots, that the adrenaline was flowing a little too strongly, and then they kind of settled into things.
And that's where I'm all right with, as we get deeper, they're going to play the first game on the road. Because then they won't have that overly amped up crowds hyping them up.
Defensive NBA title begins tonight kind of feeling.
You know, I don't want to get ahead of myself to where their roommates, you're like, man, how are they going to beat the Jets? With the Nuggets, it's who's really going to stop them in the West? I don't want to get to that just yet. But if it comes to where they got to go to Oklahoma City and play game one and two of that Western Conference Finals, that effort the Thunder put out last night, that's going to be a piece of cake for the Nuggets.
And this is kind of what Murray was talking about, too. They shot 26% from three-point range in the first half. They were 6 of 23.
They were terrible.
That's going to get better.
Yeah.
Because Nikola Jokic is going to constantly get double-teamed. There's always going to be that opportunity. That number's going to get better.
It is.
MPJ's too good of a three-point shooter. Jamal's too good of a three-point shooter. KCP, as we know, can bury a couple of threes. It's Aaron Gordon has that ability to step out and hit a three. It's going to get better. It's not going to get worse. It's just going to get better. Lakers have to play almost a flawless game, I think, to stay in this series.
And outside of LeBron and AD, I don't know if they have a flawless effort. You know what I mean?
And getting back to the three-point situation, Nuggets hit 5 of their first 8 after halftime. They did that in the first half. They're not behind by 12, and it's not even a close game.
No.
Simple as that. So if you got some thoughts about the Nuggets, do they go up 2-0 tonight? Yeah, I think they do. I just don't think the Lakers, as much as they tried to massage this roster, tried to make this a better team than the one that lost to the Nuggets last year, just don't think it's enough. They have not done enough. And Hachimura's got to play better for the Lakers. And D'Angelo begins and ends with D'Angelo Russell. Because kind of like Nikola and Murray, you know what you're going to get from AD and LeBron.
Yeah.
You're going to get probably 25-ish points per game, close to a double-double, if not a triple-double every game. And you're going to get that from them. It's what the, once again, it's about what the other guys do, kind of like the same deal with the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
Because tell me who is the Aaron Gordon MPJ equivalent on the Lakers starting five. Who would that be?
So on a consistency factor, it's no one.
It's no one. Rui Hachimura doesn't fit that. Russell certainly isn't that guy. Austin Reeves, as good as he can be, is not that guy.
Spencer Dinwiddie's best days are behind him.
Yeah. Prince played well.
How do you
well.
Play 13 minutes and not take a shot in an NBA game?
Got a couple boards and assist. Good for you, buddy.
Like, how do you not put up a shot at all? How do you not accidentally get a shot? And in 13 minutes, D'Angelo Russell put up 20.
Torian Prince cannot carry their bench throughout this series.
No.
He had 11 points, played well. He's not going to be the guy that he's not going to suddenly have a 30-point game in this series for you, or a 25-point game. And it does get back to guys like Hachimura and Russell and Reeves, where two of those three guys need to go out and have a 20-point, 22-point game.
Between the three of them, they need to have closer to 50 points than 30 points.
Absolutely. And Hachimura just gets wore out trying to guard Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
Just wears his butt out.
Would me too.
would pretty much anybody. The Lakers just, while they might have felt like they made enough moves and those kind of things, they just have not. They had to go into the play-in. Give them credit for overcoming an incredible game by Zion Williamson to win the play-in game. But let's just be honest about it. Sorry, I know there's the guys that are out there like Butchie that love their Lakers. You didn't do enough. The guys you had there from last year have not got. While D'Angelo Russell had a good season,
yeah,
he's still the same guy in the playoffs. That guy showed up again on Saturday, unfortunately for you, where he could not hit the ocean from the shore.
He'd stay dry if he fell out of a boat.
Would he scream like Jimmy Butler, though?
Yeah, he might.
If he falls into 6 inches of water?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be cocky Nuggets fan here. It's just they had him down by 12, and Denver made it go away just like that.
It felt very much like a boxer versus a knockout artist. The Lakers came out trying to knock them out in the first round.
Throwing haymakers.
Just throwing hands. And the Nuggets withstood and then outboxed them for the other 35 minutes.
Yeah. Denver didn't shoot it great from three-point range in the first half. Second half was an entirely different story. That's where KCP played a role in that.
Yeah.
And Murray was great in the second half. And Jokic is Jokic. You don't have answers. You got two incredibly talented guys. As much as we give Anthony Davis crap, when healthy and when motivated, he's a tremendous player.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. Still great.
But as good as he is defensively, remember that was all the hype about him was, could the offensive game get better coming out of college because the defensive game was so good.
Yeah.
That he gave up a triple-double to Nikola Jokic in the finals last year, in the Western Conference Finals. And yeah, and Hachimura helps out there some, but not nearly enough. Neither one of those guys. It takes two of those guys to try to slow down Nikola Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
And they still can't do it.
It's got to be frustrating, too, because you look at those guys, at least Anthony Davis, he is a prime physical specimen. And Nikola Jokic, while much thinner, is still kind of doughy. And he's just out there owning him. Possession after possession. If I was Anthony Davis, I'd be so pissed every single day. It's like, what? How does this work?
Well, and Bob Myers in the telecast talked about the underrated aspect of Nikola Jokic's ability to run the floor.
Yeah.
He gets up and down the floor. He's not just some slow, doughy dude with a wreck basketball body.
Here's the thing, though. He's running like he's running in quicksand, but still no one seems to catch him.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how LeBron doesn't chase him down on the break, I have no idea. Like, how in the world? He's moving. You need a strobe light to make him look like he's moving, and you still can't catch him. Like, it's a deception of the eyes trick that he pulls off. It's got to be some Serbian thing to where he looks like he runs about as fast as I do. Looks. Yeah, not actually.
He just looks like he just lopes down the floor.
Yeah.
But then you look around, it's like, well, there are guys behind him.
Like
they look like they're running full speed.
His fast break is bordering on a shot clock violation, it feels, and still no one catches him.
You know, one of the pivotal moments in the game, we still need to get around the NFL. I thought when Jamal Murray took it down the lane and got by LeBron and dunked it.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of sent a message, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. That was kind of a dagger.
Yeah. That was kind of a, this game is ours.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for participating tonight. Yeah. We'll see you back here on Monday.
Thanks, LeBron.
All right, 8:16, and it's time for Around the NFL.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
Okay, the big story today. The Broncos uniforms, according to reports, are going to come out at 9 o'clock this morning.
Okay, so we're getting there.
We're getting there. It's supposed to be, according to what I'm seeing, 9 o'clock this morning. Where they will show what the uniforms look like. They did release a video showing players like looking in a box or something like that and their reaction.
Yeah, that's the big thing this offseason.
They're like, ooh, it looks so cool.
They did that with the Browns white face masks. Yeah. So that's our big change this year.
I like the white face mask.
I love the look.
That's Brian Sipe. That's Sam Ortigliano. Yeah. That's
Bernie Kosar.
It's very, very much Browns.
It's a great look, but also it's, come on, guys. This is it. I mean,
this is what we're talking about here.
I'm more excited about the shiny orange being back as opposed to the flat orange. Oh, yeah.
And I know Mile High Report, they put out what released what they think what's going to look like, a mock up. I like the numbers. I like the font. But they have, I don't know, it's these weird lines on it. They're supposed to, supposed to reflect mountains or what. It's, I don't know. And then they showed supposedly what the helmet's going to look like. That's going to have like kind of like a triangular, like arrow-looking stripe at the top with little triangles inside it. But then there's also been the report that it's like supposed to, like, represents mountains on a topographical map. As the jersey's on a truncated stripe along the back of the, so it's kind of like, it looks like an arrow. So it's supposed to represent topographical mountains on the stripe. It's a blue helmet with the current Bronco logo. Though people are saying that the helmet is not an official NFL helmet. It's a Riddell helmet that the NFL no longer uses. Mm-hmm. And so there's some questions about the legitimacy of this helmet that somebody is CT ESPN.
Oh, that's not a great name to
Antonio
have
Brown's social media network, by the way. So if you want,
I feel that's unironically named.
You want legitimacy, go to Antonio Brown's social media network.
Yeah. So CT ESPN. Just let that sink
CT
in.
CT ESPN. So take that for what it's worth.
The more words there are to describe what the helmet looks like, the worse it's actually going to look like.
Yeah, because I've also heard
a safety tip.
I've also heard still could very well be a white helmet, like the Snowpeak helmets that they wore. There's supposed to be a couple other different uniforms that are coming in. This one's supposed to look very much like the Broncos uniforms of the early '80s, kind of what's considered the classic Bronco look.
Mm-hmm.
So we will see. 9 o'clock this morning, we'll finally get an answer on what the uniforms look like. All I know is this, you and I talked about it, I think Max and I talked about it Friday. The Lions' new unis look really good.
Yeah, they do.
They look really good.
Yeah, they do.
All right, so this from Mile High Huddle this morning from Chad Jensen. Sean Payton's quarterback target revealed by Insider. Broncos ready to mortgage future. that according to Tony Paulina, who's a longtime draft insider, that the Broncos are willing to do whatever it takes to move up in the draft. Sources tell me that losing out on Mahomes has left an internal bad taste in the mouth of Peyton. Recent word inside the league is the Broncos coach ready to mortgage the franchise's future to get his quarterback Thursday night. And according to Paulina, that they're willing to trade Patrick Surtain to get there. Though they're not saying who the quarterback is. Is it J.J. McCarthy? Who is it? We don't know.
Yeah, I would be interested in that little piece of information as well.
But that because Sean Payton thought about drafting Patrick Mahomes and didn't draft him when he was at the Saints, he's not going to make that mistake now as the Broncos head coach.
He's going to make a different mistake. J.J. McCarthy.
So I'm just looking through the rest of the article to see if they actually ever say who it is.
Who the actual quarterback of the future is. Find out Thursday night.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
Pauline says it's McCarthy. So I had to look all the way down the... It's like, let's bury the lead all the way down
the bottom. Yeah, it's like the recipe in a blog. First, I'm going to tell you about my grandparents. Don't care.
Don't care. I want the recipe.
Yeah. Teach me how to make the food. I don't care about the grandparents.
So we'll see if that happens Thursday night. Is that entirely true? Is it J.J. McCarthy, and could Patrick Surtain get traded to somebody for that to happen? Oh, that'd be a disaster, I think. I'd be an absolute
all
disaster.
All the way around.
Be an absolute disaster.
What a mess that would be.
Yeah.
Oh, Jar Jar McCarthy. That would not be fun as an outside observer, but not fun for my friends at a Broncos.
Yeah. And when...
why don't you just draft Kyle McCord while you're at it?
Do we need to go over UFL scores this weekend? I don't think we need to.
No,
they did have 31,000 at the St. Louis Battlehawks game, though.
It's because the Cardinals aren't any good.
They had 40,000 the week before that.
Oh, attendance falling. Attendance cratering in the UFL. That's how that works,
right? They had what bad weather was at the Birmingham game because they had like a Saturday night. It's like I popped it on before the Nuggets. And I'm just kind of going, there was nobody there. And it looked like they had bad weather. It looked like it was raining.
Did it get
and
snowed out?
It didn't get snowed out. No.
Nothing though.
It was Birmingham.
That weather's fine. Hey,
but you never know.
Yeah. Global warming these days.
Yeah. It's true. On this Earth Day today.
It's true.
We bring that up. All right, 8:23. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Coming up next hour, Trevor Baskin's going to join us, who is now a member of the University of Colorado Buffaloes. We were unable to get Trevor on Friday, but he'll be joining us coming up at 9:20 this morning. So make sure you stick around for that. And we'll also have Browns Cremation Funeral Service good call, bad call this hour. But time right now to play the number game.
Let's play the number game on the Jim Davis Show.
Yes, up for grabs today is a delicious case of Coors, the banquet beer, courtesy of our friends at High Country Beverage. A couple things to keep in mind. If you're under the age of 21, sit it out. It is beer. If you've won any time in the last 2 weeks, sit it out. And if you don't want the prize, don't play. First correct text answer to the text line, 970-242-1340 wins. And it's always a number. So if you text me in, the Lakers, you're going to be wrong. The Denver Nuggets have played those Los Angeles Lakers in 37 playoff games. How many wins all time do they have against the Lakers in the playoffs today, April 22nd, 2024?
All right, first correct answer wins a case of Coors Banquet Beer from High Country Beverage. And if you win today, you're into the never-ending contest to win that Honda street bike from Motorcycle Accessories. Get all the details at theteam1340.com. So get your answer in right now. If you've won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Simple as that. Or if you don't want the prize, don't text in as well. 970-242-1340. Text only, by the way, to play the number game. Coming up, Browns Cremation Funeral Service. Good call, bad call. Along with your text as well on the team line, 970-242-1340.
It's a good show.
Probably the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. 827. Jim Malone with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Prediction on Nuggets Lakers tonight. Do the Nuggets go up 2-0? Do the Avalanche find a way to bounce back tomorrow night when they play at Winnipeg? So text or call us today on the team line, 970-242-1340. And looks like we have a winner for the number game today.
Yes, we do.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Scott B, not Scott T, Scott B, first in the door with 13, lucky number 13 after the win Saturday against those Lakers.
Congratulations to Scott today. Still have a chance next hour to win with Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia, so make sure you stick around for that. Also, Trevor Baskin, now a member of the University of Colorado Buffalo's men's basketball team, the RMAC Player of the Year for the Mavericks this past season. He will join us coming up at 9:20 this morning. All right, it's time for Brown's Cremation and Funeral Service. Good call, bad call.
Was that a good call, or did they totally blow it? It's good call or bad call.
Brought to you by Brown's Cremation and Funeral Service, 904 North 7th Street in Grand Junction. Call them at 970-255-8888. Always a good call to have your arrangements or your loved one's arrangements pre-planned. Bad call to wait until you've passed on or they have passed on. Always difficult time to deal with making arrangements while you're grieving. So call them today, Brown's Cremation and Funeral Service, 970-255-8888. All right, yesterday, though, the Rockies played the doubleheader against Seattle. They won the first game in 10 innings, 2-1. Ended up being Ryan McMahon driving in Charlie Blackmon with the winning run. Yesterday, Rockies lost the second game, 10-2. But initially, the Rockies thought, and so did the Seattle Mariners broadcasters, they thought that Jacob Stallings had hit a walk-off home run, that was going to win the game yesterday. Until they reviewed it, and there was fan interference. It was obviously a good call, because if you watch the video, fan clearly interferes with the ball.
100%.
It's not even any doubt to it. That he interfered and could have cost the Rockies a win, but fortunately it did not. They still ended up winning 2-1. But bad call on the part of that fan. Dude, I know you want a home run ball, but don't reach out and over to try to make the play, because you just cost Jacob Stallings potentially a walk-off home run. Well, he did. Cost him a walk-off home run.
Who knows what Jacob Stallings' bonus structure is on hitting.
Absolutely.
You know, that could completely screw him at some point. The league's exclusive negotiating window wraps up today for the NBA. So ESPN and TNT Sports have the chance to exclusively negotiate until today. The Athletic's Andrew Marchand noted it's possible that a streamer such as Prime Video could land either the conference finals or the NBA finals at some point over the course of the league's next deal. Now, those three words, the league's next deal, good call, bad call, that one of the last two rounds of the NBA's playoffs is going to be on a stream. That should be. That's a bad call.
It will be.
Will be going to be. I'm going to say bad call because I don't think leagues are ready to put championships behind a paywall.
They're willing to put a slate of games. They're willing to put a regular season game like Thursday Night Football. Yeah, I don't think I think that's a bad call that it's going to end up like the conference finals or finals will be on a streaming service.
Mm-hmm. I
can see play-in tournament.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't surprise me. That would have some attractiveness to somebody. Mm-hmm. I could see that happening. I could even see maybe the first round. Some first round games.
Yeah.
A couple of first round series end up on a streamer.
But I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, I think for conference finals, league finals, no, I agree. And according to reports, NBA execs want deals of 10 years or longer for the next rights agreement.
Hmm. Oh, that's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because if your value continues to go up, you're going to be locked into a deal from this year. But then again, if your bubble bursts, you want to be locked into
a long-term deal. It's a double-edged sword. It really is. You like the safety of, you know, what revenue you're going to get every year. But what if your value goes up and all of a sudden you're stuck, you're locked? You think TV partner's going to cut you a break? No.
No.
But that NBA finals are on ABC right now. ESPN and TNT carry the conference finals. That ABC, ESPN, of course, parent company of Disney, TNT, Warner Brothers, Discovery want to keep those rights and pay an average of $2.6 billion per year over the next 9 years.
A lot of money.
That's a good chunk. That's a pretty big chunk of change to walk away from if you're the NBA and you think you're gonna get something better from somebody else.
I know the NBA fan is probably more apt to stream than the NFL fan.
Probably.
But it took a long time for people to be okay with the games being on cable because especially baseball. I don't want to pay for games I can get for free elsewhere.
Well, look now, though.
Yeah.
With the Rockies situation, other teams' situations with the RSNs going away, and how people have complained about the lack of access to certain Major League Baseball teams, one most notably here in the state.
And I beat my head against the wall with, I'm not going to pay to watch the Rockies. Well, do you have cable? Well, yeah. Well, first of all, you have them.
You
paid for that. Like, you don't get cable for free, and if you do, please tell me how. Not on the air. But if you're paying for you pay for them. You just pay for a lot more on top of that.
Yeah, you're still paying for it.
Right. It's like, I'm not going to pay for Monday Night Football. It's on ESPN. Oh, yeah. You pay for that. Like, that's the whole point of, you know, the start of X season or X playoff is when it goes dark. It's because there's negotiating rights fees that you're ultimately going to end up paying for, and you get no say in the negotiation.
And therein lies a problem with, like, Dish over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Where Dish currently does not provide Rockies baseball.
Mm-hmm.
DirecTV does. I'm not making a pitch for anybody here, just stating facts.
Right.
Those are the facts. Have we ever concluded that the Rockies are on Fubo?
I have no idea.
I'm in pile. This is what we're going to make.
Does anybody have Fubo out there?
If you have Fubo, have you watched the Rockies on Fubo? Because you went to get it.
Last year.
They weren't on there. I didn't see them when I had it. And they claimed they did. Mm-hmm. And I didn't go to all the trouble of, like you did, calling them and talking to them. And so I'm just curious. Are they on there now? Because according to the Denver Post story, they're on Fubo.
Mm-hmm.
They're on cable and they're on direct.
They're on our cable here locally.
Right.
Depends on the box you have. But they're on 130 over here in the studio.
So I can see where you say, if I have Dish TV, I don't want to pay more.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have YouTube TV. I don't want to pay more. I keep going back and forth whether I want to pay the money. I have yet to come to that, to cross that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you have cable, you've got them. They're there.
At some point, somebody's going to reinvent cable with let's pull Netflix and Hulu and Sling and ESPN Plus and Disney Plus and Max. Let's pull all these into one dedicated app. That's just cable all over again.
Exactly. Just a new, it's a different flavor of cable.
Just group all of your channels by parent company and you have cable. Instead of having to go for 11 for TBS and 21 for TNT, it's 20 and 20.
But in the perfect world, you would be able to pick, you go a la carte.
Yes.
And you could have a situation where I just want these channels.
Yep.
These 30 channels, whatever that might be. I get to pick my 30 channels, and it can be whatever I want. And I pay this price for that. And I don't have
Magnolia Network.
the NASA channel, which there's some actually cool stuff occasionally on that.
Really cool stuff.
But things like that. Maybe political channels that you don't care about.
Right.
Both flavors, red and blue. Yeah,
I don't.
You know, you don't care about that. You don't care about those.
I don't need Nick Jr.
I don't need. I don't need the Disney Channel. I don't.
Right.
Don't have kids anymore.
Until Disney
that
starts
age.
Putting Monday Night Football on Disney Channel.
Yeah.
Then I'll be like, then I need that back.
Guess I need that back.
Okay, Steven says the Nuggets are on Fubo. Great. We're asking about the Rockies.
Yeah, we know that. Yeah, I know that because I watched the Nuggets and
Avs. They have
altitude.
Yeah.
Altitude's on Fubo. That's not the problem. Are the Rockies on Fubo?
Right. It's confusing. Lots of the same letters, baseball and basketball.
Yes. No. Are the Rockies on Fubo? Have you seen the Rockies on there? So anyway, 8:37.
Steven's trying to tell his team not to draft anybody. I think he's gone back and forth on everybody. He knows he doesn't get Caleb Williams, and that's about it.
Max is quite, I think, happy. I don't know. I couldn't tell with Max's demeanor if he's happy they're going to draft Caleb Williams.
See, being a Bears fan is just one Super Bowl better than being a Browns fan. You don't trust your team to actually get it right until after they win something. Then you're like, yeah, I knew it. Dylan says the Rockies are on Fubo.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Because we have not had confirmation of that. Because last year, they were supposed to be.
Their website said they were.
And they never were. You never were. You never could find them on there. All right. We will take a break. Coming up next, we'll dive into Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs. That's on the way. Also, after what happened to the Avs yesterday, what is your confidence level in them winning this series? It's at like 60% right now.
I'm trying to not overreact.
I'm trying not to either.
Confidence level's cratering, though.
But it's gone down quite a bit.
It's like the UFL attendance in St. Louis, just in the tank.
Dropped by what, 8,000, something like that? All right, 8:39. We will take a break. We'll come back with Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs. That's on the way on the Jim Davis Show.
Good morning, gentlemen. What are the haps?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 8:42. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. All right, next hour, Trevor Baskin will join us. Talk about his decision to join the University of Colorado Buffaloes and also your chance to win with Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia. That's coming up next hour as well. All right, so caught up on the text line. I think we're pretty much
for the most part
caught up with everybody. Okay, so let's dive into Prep Stars and Mighty Mavs on the Jim Davis Show.
It's time to let the stars shine. It's Prep Stars on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, start out with Prep Stars. Going to go to the Warrior Wild West track meet over at Stoker. The Central Girls 4x800 relay team. Jossie Olson, Sonia Johnson, Bryn Wagner, and Sage Segrist setting a school record, a district record, and a Stoker Stadium record in the 4x800 relay this last weekend. Guess Fruit and them had a big battle.
Dang.
Down the stretch in that one. And so some records falling with that Central Girls 4x800 relay team. Those are my female prep stars of the week. As far as male prep star, Grand Junction lacrosse player Ryland Hewitt, 6 goals in the 19-6 win over Durango for the Tigers.
Was that all?
Lacrosse team. That's just 6 goals.
Is that a double hat trick? Do you have to take 2 hats to chuck it onto the ice there?
I believe so, or in this case, on the field.
You go buy a hat from the pro shop if you're doing that at, like, Ball Arena or something. My female prep star, Jessica Black, Delta Girls Soccer, 5 goals. She only needed 1. Delta B Rifle, 8-0. But she scored 5 nonetheless. That's a pretty good outing. And then we mentioned him as we were talking to Cy Espinosa, Grand Junction Tiger Sean Witt, 4-for-5, 5 RBI. In a 13-2 win over Durango.
All right, so those are prep stars. Time for Mighty Mavs.
The best of CMU sports. It's Mighty Mavs on the Jim Davis Show.
All right, mine come from the softball and the baseball field. Ava Fugate for the softball team. They've now won 27 straight. She had a grand slam against Regis yesterday. And with the four home runs they hit yesterday, of course, including her grand slam, the Mavericks setting the program record for single-season home runs with 103. The previous record was set in 2022 with 100. So, yeah, a whole bunch of them for Mercedes Boatte and the CMU softball team. And then my male Mighty Mav, Paul Schoenfield, for the Maverick baseball team. Home run, six ribbies yesterday in their doubleheader split with UCCS. Mavericks still win 3 out of 4, though, over in Colorado Springs.
I'm going to the links for both of mine. My female Mighty Mav, Britlin Odell, she's tied for 6th after the first round of the RMAC Championships. She shot a 1 over 73. And on the men's side, Cole Beyer, he's tied for 5th at the RMAC Championships, a 5 under 67 in his first round. Both second rounds pick up today.
Very good. So is our prep stars and Mighty Mavs. Text or call the show today, 970-242-1340. Avalanche falling 7-6 yesterday in Winnipeg. Alexander Georgiev giving up all 7 of those goals. Do the Avalanche win this first round series? Remember, they got knocked out by the Kraken in the first round last year. Could that happen again this year?
Again, I'm trying not to overreact, but that was not a very inspiring effort. Offensively, it was, but man, you had, it's like the Lakers, like they had a chance to throw a knockout punch early, and now Connor Hellebuck can just go back and be like, hey, you know, gosh, I gave up 6, but man, we still got the win.
We found a way to get it done. They took him 46 shots to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That we outscored them. That's a thing that was not supposed to happen. The Avalanche, the vastly better offensive team with the Moose. Of course, Nate, who's right now, it's going to be him or Kucherov that wins the Hart, the way it's looking. And you got Makar, you've got goal scoring galore for this team, and for a very middling Winnipeg
offense,
they went and scored 7 goals yesterday and got it done, doing something that I don't think most of us thought that they could do, is outscore the Avalanche. I think the Avalanche still win it. I'd like to think they're still going to win it in 6. But man, my confidence level is down, definitely, after watching yesterday. If Georgiev does not play better, because say you turn to Eustace Annan, if he's healthy tomorrow night and they have to turn to him, there's no guarantee that Annan's going to step in and be Frankie 2.0, no. Pavel Francouz when they won the cup. You like to hope that that's the case. And you hope the thing where they address so many issues, getting a second line center in Mittelstadt, adding some scoring and depth experience with Scott Walker in that defensive core, Duhaime, Trinan, adding those players were all great pieces to add for Chris McFarland. But the one thing that they did not do, they sat pat on, was getting a veteran goaltender at the trade deadline. They didn't do that. They didn't go that route. And is that going to come back to bite them in the butt if they can't get past Winnipeg?
I just know everybody keeps trying to find ways to talk themselves into Georgie. And it's glaring how bad he's playing right now.
And he can say, I'm going to go watch the tape and I'll look at it and I'll be better in game 2. Yep. You damn well better be better in game 2. You got to hope that's the case.
You can't be too much worse.
You can't be worse. And while Georgie needs to be better, the guys around him got to play better. Like I feel bad. I keep harping on Josh Manson. But that was a terrible turnover. They cost them momentum in that game. I just...
And this is where I talk out of both sides of my mouth. So with that in mind, I totally understand what you're saying. You're right. That is a huge momentum killer. It's a big turnover. Also, it is one goal in a game that featured 13. And it was really one play where, you know, yeah, on the whole, it's not great. But it's more of a microcosm than I think a symptom of the Avs' poor play.
It's an example of they've got to play better in front of him, though.
Agreed.
It's an example. It's not.
Like you said, it hurt. Talking out of both sides of my mouth.
It hurt in terms of momentum.
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday, if you didn't catch the scores from Stanley Cup playoffs, the late game last night, Canucks beat the Predators 4-2, so they lead that series 1-0. You also had the Rangers dumping the Capitals, whereas Capitals had to go on that incredible run at the end of the regular season to get in. There was like, what, five teams vying for the last wild card in the East, and they're able to slip in. Rangers beat them 4-1. You also had the Panthers beating Tampa Bay 3-2. The Battle of Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So both Rangers and the Panthers lead their series 1-0. And then from Saturday, the Bruins just crushed Toronto 5-1. And then it was Carolina over the Islanders 3-1. So you go to the NBA, and yesterday it was Oklahoma City edging New Orleans by a bucket. 94-92.
What a dog that game was.
He had the Bucks down in the Pacers 109-94. He also had the Clippers. That game ended up being closer than it was because at one point, like a couple different times, they were down by 15 or more, the Mavericks were. But Clippers going to win at 109-97 yesterday. You had the Celtics downing the Heat 114-94. I thought the Celtics had already won the NBA championship.
I thought they had their parade and everything.
I didn't realize that they had to play. And then you had the Knicks, that other Saturday game along with the Nuggets and Lakers, Knicks beating the Sixers 111-104.
Can't imagine how insufferable the fan is right now with the Knicks and the Rangers both winning in the playoffs right now.
Oh, yeah.
Just absolutely insufferable.
All right, so we're, what, 8 minutes away from the Broncos releasing their new uniforms.
Yeah, I've been looking at Fanatics to see if somebody did what the Lions did and put up an ad. You know, allegedly the Lions leaked their own jerseys early.
If you do it yourself, is that really a big deal? Is it really a leak?
Well, it was one of their...
If you choose to do it...
Their promotional partners put an ad banner up early, but there's a lot of scuttlebutt, if you will,
that they weren't supposed to.
Kind of were like, all right with it. So, they weren't supposed to, but it came out a little bit early.
Is it the end of the world if it comes out 5-10 minutes early? Is it...
No, I don't think so.
Is it that big of a deal? I don't know. I approach the next few minutes, the next 7 minutes now, with excitement, but with trepidation of what these are going to look like.
This is going to be the new era. It defines the new era of Broncos football. Are they going to be Avalanche Nuggets-ish or Rockies-esque?
Or does it harken back to some of the classic lines of previous Bronco uniforms?
Yeah. We're going to need the next 90 seconds to just describe what they're going to look.
What concerned me about Greg Penner's comments previously was we wanted to reflect Colorado, the Rocky Mountain region. Part of me, obviously being from Colorado, native born, love Colorado, love my Broncos.
Yeah.
That, okay, if they can find a way to do that and it doesn't look hokey and stupid, I'm not opposed to that idea.
See, I think you go the other way.
My concern is, though, it's going to look hokey and stupid, and it's going to be a bad look.
Just go with a generic uniform. You don't have to change if you threaten to move. If you don't get a new stadium, then have to move.
So it'll work anywhere.
Yeah.
You're going to have
to change them again.
I did see over the weekend, it's looking like the Utah hockey team is going to be very much like the Washington football team when they were trying to come up with a name.
Uh-huh. They haven't come up with anything. Just a gigantic U on the front of their sweater.
That it's going to be like Utah Hockey Club or something like that. Somebody went into the story about names that they registered. One of them was Venom, the Utah Venom.
Is this a girls 12 and under soccer team?
Sounds like it.
No offense.
And one was like Utah Hockey Club. I forgot what the other one. There was nothing. It was all pretty generic-y sounding. Because supposedly the Millers want to, the people who now own it, the owners of the Jazz, want to have an actual naming contest and everything.
No, don't leave it up to the people.
Yeah.
That's never going to go well.
Because Coyotes are going to stay in Arizona. The name is going to stay there. Which I thought would be cool. Sorry, Arizona Coyotes. Let them have the name. Let me be the Utah Coyotes. Why not?
Right.
Why not?
You tried hockey. It failed. You shouldn't get another team.
I kind of, no offense to Jackson Wilson, I kind of feel that way about it a little bit. All right, we will take a break. And coming up, top of next hour, I think we'll probably, hopefully we'll be seeing